podcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit.
Bandwidth for All About Android is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
This episode of All About Android is brought to you by Gazelle, the fast and simple way to sell your used gadgets. Find out what your used iPhone, iPad, and other Apple products are worth at Gazelle.com. And by 99 Designs, the world's largest graphic design marketplace. 99 Designs connects businesses seeking quality, affordable designs with a community of more than 225,000 graphic designers. Visit 99designs.com/AAA to receive a free Power Pack upgrade valued at $99. And by Hulu Plus. Hulu Plus lets you binge on thousands of hit shows anytime, anywhere on your TV, PC, smartphone, or tablet. Visit HuluPlus.com/twit to start your free 2-week trial. That's HuluPlus.com/twit. Hello and welcome to another episode of All About Android, episode 135, recorded on Tuesday, November 12th, 2013. We are your weekly source for the latest news, hardware, and apps for the Android faithful. I'm Jason Howell.
I'm Ron Richards.
I'm Gina Trapani.
Welcome back, team.
We're here.
Hello.
We have assembled like Voltron, but we have an extra brain. And that extra brain is Brian Klug, senior smartphone editor at Anontech. It's so great to have you back on the show, sir.
Thanks for having me back on, guys.
Absolutely.
We had a blast last time.
Mm. Absolutely. Been waiting to get you back on. And
this is the perfect week.
Yeah, it really is. I mean, we have a lot of, you know, obviously Brian and Anontech, you guys do such great reviews and hardware specifically. You really dive so incredibly deep on the hardware. And we've got some pretty interesting hardware stuff to bat around this week. So I think it's perfect. So really appreciate you joining us again, Brian.
Yeah, anytime.
I was excited when I saw the news because it's like, whoo. He'll know more than me.
No, you're many times, as far as I'm concerned, you're pretty much the smartest guy in the room. So just
totally
go ahead and take that. It's true. This week, we will be discussing the next Dalvik. See, we're starting off with a bang there. Google getting smarter with your personal data. A deep dive on the Nexus 5, which I believe many of us in the room have right now, the arrival of CyanogenMod for everyone, and so much more. Let's waste no more time. Let's get right into the news. Yes, Ron.
Were we really wasting a lot of time?
No. Well, I think, you know, we're getting through the stuff we got to do to get to the stuff people want to hear.
Yes, yeah.
You're right. It's not a waste. It's just stuff. All right. So, Dalvik. What is Dalvik? Dalvik is the virtual machine that all... Correct me if I'm wrong, because this one was kind of hard for me to wrap my brain around. The virtual machine that basically all apps on Android run on. Dalvik essentially takes code compiled from Java, translates that into something that each individual device, because there are a lot of different types of devices and configurations, Android devices in particular, each with its own specs, its own hardware, and translate that into something that it can understand. It takes the code, allows it to be run on a number of those various CPUs, essentially, and Dalvik has been around for a long time. It's been around since Android's beginning, so it's pretty old. Google, instead of continuing to optimize Dalvik into the future because of its age, has decided to start fresh with a new runtime engine. That's ART. It stands for Android Runtime. And it's been placed into KitKat. It's on any KitKat device right now. It's deactivated by default as a way for developers to start testing their apps against it, as well as hardware manufacturers to optimize their hardware around it and get familiar with it. So... Brian, I asked you in the email earlier to say, all right, so ART, I hope you know more than I do about this, because this is kind of, the basic level of what I know. What would you say is the significant change here? Google's already kind of said that ART is the future, and possibly in the next major version of Android, it'll be rolled out and replace Dalvik. What does that mean?
Right. So I think the last major change was obviously with Android 2.2. They added just-in-time compilation. But really, Dalvik has kind of moved on since then. We've seen small improvements. But obviously, having ART sort of appear all of a sudden is a big deal. And you know, I've kind of done some exploration. There is a performance delta. I think that you'll see the performance delta get even bigger as it matures. Right now, it's kind of a work in progress. Primarily, the big thing is that this is a move to ahead of time compilation. Like, I don't know if you saw when you switched over. It did that Android is updating screen for a while, and that was its ahead of time compilation, as opposed to Dalvik right now, which is sort of a combination of both. Like when you update or clear the Dalvik cache, it will compile things ahead of time, but it really is just a JIT system. So this is a big deal because it sort of is the framework that all of the Android apps run on. Mm-hmm. There's native code inside of Android. Obviously, if you compile things using the NDK. But the vast majority of apps are running against this virtual machine, or really this runtime. And without getting too technical, it's going to affect the way that, you know, the device feels. Obviously, performance, things like resources, how much performance you get out of a certain device. I don't know. It's interesting to see that we're going to move off of Dalvik pretty soon here. I've kind of speculated in public that I suspect a lot of this might be preparing the platform for things like ARMv8, obviously Intel like 64-bit, starting to become a big buzzword right now. The realities are that, yeah, it's just going to happen eventually. And, you know, what's interesting to me is that I've kind of been asking a lot of the silicon vendors questions about what the customizations were that they have for Dalvik. And they've kind of taken it to places that it originally wasn't. And from their perspective, some of the performance improvements they think they already have. Mm-hmm. But we'll see what happens. I don't want to spoil too much. I think there were some people who were saying there's like a 2x performance delta. In reality, what performance delta you get will obviously depend on whether ART can do a better job compiling code than Dalvik could. And mm-hmm. there's a lot of weird cases. I saw numbers that were kind of in between, you know, like on the small side, maybe 10%, on the large side, maybe 50%. It just depends. You know, that initial ahead of time compilation is something I saw people complaining about. But again, that's something you're only going to have to deal with once. So yeah, I don't know.
So Ron,
Google's been tight-lipped about it.
Ron, apparently you had to start from scratch on your phone. Why would that be?
Well, you want to hear a little tale of woe related to Dalvik. So, and this is going to dovetail a little into our Nexus 5 conversation. So I won't get into my Nexus 5 specific details, but to tell this story, I got my Nexus 5 Friday. I was busy at work, so it sat there on my desk. I posted a picture up on Google Plus. All you people yelling at me about posting on Google Plus, posted the picture when I arrived.
No good on Google Plus.
I didn't get home until late that night, and I'm like, all right, I'm going to sit down and I'm going to set up my phone. And I went through that whole process. I got everything installed, and we'll talk more about that when I did Nexus 5. And I got everything installed, and I'm playing with it, and I'm loving it, totally loving the Nexus 5. And then I'm reading on Google Plus. I'm reading the comments, which there's so much interactivity on Google Plus. You're totally right. I love it. Every post gets like 30 comments. It's amazing. Uh-huh. And I'm going to call him out. G. Ragib said, "Hey, Ron Richards, switch from Dalvik to ART in developer options and see if it feels faster. My Nexus 5 got a jetpack when I did the switch." And I said, "What's this Dalvik ART thing?" And so I go, and this is now Saturday. Yeah, I think it's Saturday night. So I Google and I read all the articles. And I'm like, oh, the new runtime. Oh, that sounds totally cool. Oh, developer option. And it sends me down this rat hole of, I didn't realize with the Nexus 5 that they've now, and I guess they did a Nexus 4 and I just never did it, but they've hidden the developer options. Whereas previously they were open, and now you need to go into about the phone and you need to tap on the kernel version seven times. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's just arcane. It's like a,
they make you,
it's
they like make a Capcom you work for thing. It a little
it's
bit.
Capcom code. Yeah. So I did that. That took me an hour to figure that out because the thing I was reading said you had to tap the version number, not the kernel number. So I just sat there like as I'm watching TV tapping. I'm like, it's not working.
Like, how long
so I rebooted. Yeah, I rebooted and whatever. Then finally I'm like, let me try the kernel. So I did the kernel and then it's like, congratulations, you've unlocked developer options. I'm like, awesome. It's like I'm treating it like a video game. I switched to Dalvik. I switched to ART from Dalvik and then I used it all day Sunday. I'm like, oh, everything's fine. Now, what's interesting is that there's an app that I cannot live without when we talk about the apps that we need to install. One of those apps is called WhatsApp, which is a basic group messaging.
Yes, and I've heard that it's not.
And I use it exclusively with my sister and my brother-in-law. My brother-in-law's on an iOS device. My sister's on I got her an HTC One. Mm-hmm. Originally, we got it because it was cross-platform and all that sort of stuff. We've been using it for years. It is the main kind of conduit to my family. And on Sunday, I go to tell my sister something, and I tap WhatsApp, and the app expands, and it goes, unfortunately, WhatsApp has stopped running.
Right.
And I did it again, nothing worked. I'm like, oh, clearly something happened. Must have been updated, some KitKat, this is early stage. I uninstall WhatsApp. I go to reinstall it. It downloads the package. I get package file invalid. I'm like, what? Aww. So I do it again. Error code -24. Cannot install. I'm like, what the hell is this? And so I'm like, all right, I can't think about this. I'm busy. I was busy on Sunday. So then last night, I'm like, all right, let me take a look at this. Let me see what's going on. And I just, of course, do the typical Android, KitKat, WhatsApp. And I find thousands of people complaining about they switched to Art from Dalvik and now WhatsApp doesn't work. And a couple of things that you can try if you go in, like if you root the phone and go in and delete this file, it can work, whatever. Right. And finally, after about 2 hours.
Welcome to Tinker Zone.
I don't root.
I know.
This
exactly.
is exactly
this,
why.
And just to kind of address some of the questions in the chat room where they're like, Ron is just finding out about this? Ron wouldn't know about this kind of stuff because Ron doesn't like to go into his Android and tinker.
This is why, right? I keep things stuck.
He stays away from it.
This is the pure reason. This is exactly the pure reason. So finally, I tried all the things and finally, ultimately, I had the factory reset.
Yeah.
So the 3 hours or so I spent on Friday and Saturday night setting my phone up to be perfect and exactly got completely erased, and I still am not done rebuilding the phone. But oddly enough, when I did the factory reset, it remembered my wallpaper, which I copied on, which I thought it would erase everything, but I don't know if that was part of the Google backup or not. Yeah. But I hadn't logged into Google yet. When I turned the phone on for the first time, the wallpaper was there. So very interesting.
That's weird.
Anyway, so because of Dalvik and Art, I needed to do a factory reset. That's the long story short.
So you can't back out. You can't say you sent me back to Dalvik.
I went back to Dalvik, and you still get the error 24. It was completely something in the file system, and I know the file. I mean, I don't know it offhand, but I can go find it. But something in the file system was the whole Art recompilation, whatever, completely corrupted the package for that file. And because my phone wasn't rooted, and I didn't want to take the, and I was like this close to downloading the AGB, you know, like in the developer tools, like the command line thing. I'm like, oh, I could do this.
Oh, ADB.
Yeah, no. Or whatever that. What is it?
ADB.
ADB. I said AGB. Sorry, ADB. Mm. I was like downloading the developer things, and I was about to do it, and now it's like 11:30 on Monday night, and I get up at like 5, and so I'm like, you know, factory reset. I'm out. Mm-hmm. This is why I don't tinker. So. Yeah.
Yeah. This is a good cautionary tale to share.
Yeah, right. No, exactly.
Want to lose, you know?
Yeah.
Well, just because there are options that are there, and this is, you know, Google even said this is you know, it's not activated by default.
Yeah.
It's there purely to give people who are curious a chance to experience it. But all apps are not going to work with it. Yep. Obviously,
your mileage may vary.
Yeah, your mileage
and
may vary.
I can't tell you. I was so psyched on Saturday because I was like, I'm going to go on the show and I'm going to show everybody how to do this, and like I'm going to and I'll be the guy screaming about Art. Like I thought I had a scoop and everything. And then yeah. So.
Oh,
that's interesting that you ran into an edge case where it doesn't work. Yes. I haven't experienced it yet, but I guess, I mean, WhatsApp is a big popular application. I guess it's kind of surprising to see that not work.
It's one of the only ones that I've heard of in mass. Like, I've definitely seen multiple posts about, oh, WhatsApp doesn't work with ART.
There was one.
It's the only one that I've heard that.
PicFrame didn't work, but I don't know if that's because of ART or just because the app didn't work. When I would go to try to share... Oh, now it's working. So my PicFrame also didn't work in ART. So
okay,
this is why it's a developer option. Like WhatsApp knows now that there's something wrong, right? Like it's the canary in the coal mine, right? Like now they know and they're probably fixing it. And someone in the chat room said that there's a fix in progress. But like this is the risk that you take by being first person.
This is why you had to go into hidden, you know, some hidden way of tapping the thing 10 times. Then it says you are now a developer because you knew enough to find that, therefore you must know enough about these
options. And I thought I did. And to defend my geek cred here, and Woods in the chat room is calling me out, he says if Ron tinkered, he could have fixed it. And yes, I could have fixed it. I knew the steps to take.
But again,
it was 11:30. I need my phone. My sister was barking at me, why aren't I on the chat? You know, so
tinkerers? See, like, I enjoy the challenge of things like that. If I have the time anyways, like I don't mind going through those steps. That's why I don't mind, you know, unlocking the bootloader on my Nexus 5, which I did. And eventually, you know, going in and rooting my devices and all that kind of stuff. Cause you can get yourself into trouble and you have to be okay with being comfortable taking the time to do it right.
Well, and that's
you know what I mean? And research and all that kind of stuff.
And that's the thing. And I used to be a tinkerer. I upgraded the hard drive of my TiVo. Like, remember that? Like, you could swap out to a bigger hard drive. And like, I used to overclock my PC. Like, I've done all that stuff. But what it also made me realize two things is that one is that, unfortunately, my time is a valuable commodity that at 11:30 at night on a Monday night, I can't afford to start doing that. Like, because I need to, you know. And second, it made me realize how crucial this dumb device is in my life now, where just the concept of it being out for some reason or not working. I had my Nexus 4. I could have switched and been fine with it. It's just like getting patient. But like, but it also showed like, and having to reinstall the phone twice and go through the app installation process twice, it made me realize what apps do I truly can't live without and what apps do I depend on. And now I've got it down to a pair where, like, if I don't have this app, I'm screwed. And these are the reasons why. And so, it was an interesting – I'm not complaining. It was a funny story. But I think it's really interesting about how this – you know, like Brian said, how it, you know, this edge case basically, you know, put me in the situation where, you know, I'm still kind of reeling from. So,
Well, they have this tool. It's like Dex to OAT. Because obviously the DEX files that are sort of for Dalvik are in each APK. And currently when you install one of those APKs, they run that against it to convert into the other intermediary, which is OAT, the equivalent, I guess, to a DEX. Well, then there's these other DEX tools that run as well. But, I mean, yeah, it's complicated and there are all these intermediary steps. And really part of that is just making it so that, you know, Android is architecture agnostic. I mean, now it runs on x86, MIPS, ARM, v6, and v7. I think a lot of the reason you're seeing ART sort of pop up is to prepare the platform for ARM v8. But it looks like it's probably related to that DEX to OAT step. I'm not really familiar with the WhatsApp situation, though.
The last question that I have about this before we move on, because I know we spent a lot of time on Dalvik and this already, but I've seen a lot of people on Google Plus and, you know, just all over switching to ART and being like, man, I noticed the biggest improvement, blah, blah, blah. Part of me wonders, is it placebo?
Yes.
Like, is it the kind of thing that they're seeing what they want to see because they made this switch that they were told is the way of the future and will possibly do this? Do we have enough compatibility at this point with ART where they would see speed improvements?
That's it. I was on ART for, 48 plus maybe 72, I'm just under 72 hours. And maybe I didn't have enough time with the Nexus 5 on Dalvik.
Not to mention a lot of the people doing this are on a device that they've had no more than maybe 3 days or 4 days. So how do you detect
what is the baseline?
There's that.
Fascinating.
You know, I have two Nexus 5s, one that I switched over to ART immediately. The other one's still on Dalvik. And, you know, I was running something side by side. It really depends. But I'll tell you subjectively, it's not a huge difference. You know, like, again, I go back to the Android 4.0. I don't know why I keep saying 4.2. But back with Android, you know, when we first got JIT, that was a big, big step forwards. You know, like immediate performance improvements, like Nexus 1 days. I think people are kind of expecting that sort of analog.
Right.
And it does have the promise, maybe at some future date when that becomes the default or they're done developing for it. But I don't feel like their optimizations are fully finished yet. And the performance increases are sort of, you know, like I think people have found a couple of edge cases where it goes 2x faster. In the benchmarks that I've run and sort of testing that I've done, it's a much, you know, smaller number. Because, again, they already are doing compilation out to native code and really adding the JIT was sort of like the big, big step forwards. The question is now whether they can eke out additional performance. And really the fact that Dalvik isn't being developed anymore, right. At least there's nothing going on that front for a while. And it's sort of been in the hands of the silicon vendors. And it's interesting from their side, they view that, you know, some of the performance improvements that maybe users are seeing on this Dalvik thing, on this runtime versus Dalvik, they've already sort of, you know, delivered by whatever modifications they're not willing to make public. So I think that, this is a big thing for them to sort of get ready to migrate over and build whatever secret sauce they've built already to sort of make sure the code that comes out is really aligned with their architecture. And that's the real point of this. But it's not for normals. you know,
normal.
I was annoyed when they put developer options sort of behind the secret wall. For a while, I thought they had removed it. You know, I think that was Nexus 4, wasn't it? Or back with 4.2? I could be wrong. I don't remember what the timeline was, but I was
think
really
you're
frustrated
right. I think it was around 4.2.
Yeah, I was like, is it gone? Like, I can't do without developer options. I need USB debugging.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. All right. So what else do we have?
Well, before we move on, yeah. Is it art or ART? Brian, I don't know. Yeah. Okay. All right. I wasn't sure because you were saying ART and I was saying art.
Make the decision right now.
Let's call it art. It's fine.
It's ART.
I like that.
ART. So, moving on away from Dalvik, but still about Google, some interesting information about some Google tracking. I know everybody gets always concerned about privacy and data and all that sort of stuff. This is interesting that Google is currently beta testing a program that uses smartphone location data to determine when consumers visit retail stores, so physical stores. So according to an agency executive that was briefed on the program by Google employees, basically what Google is doing is that they're using inherent location data from Android phones as well as all other Google apps on iOS and that sort of thing, as well as mobile searches that occur. So, for example, if you are doing a mobile search for screwdrivers, it will look to see where you are and recommend a hardware store or give that hardware store an opportunity to sell an ad to you to be like, come here and buy a screwdriver.
Or know that you went to that store.
Exactly.
And then Google knows that was a successful.
Or kind of, do a bounce right. back or mm-hmm. do something like that. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. So that's happening. It's interesting. I mean, everybody's probably going to freak out about it. But, hey, if you can get me location-relevant contextual content, that's fine. I mean, if it enriches your life, you know what I mean? We're not going to get thrown at ads and all stuff like that. But at the same time, but if there's a store nearby, if I'm searching for, you know, jeans and someone's like, hey, there's a 20% off sale over there, I'm going to go check it out. You know? So, I don't know. But I'm sure everyone's going to freak out about it.
You can opt in or you can opt out.
And it's
location
beta.
Tracking is the setting.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
That you're talking about.
Yeah, I mean, this sounds like a Google Now thing, right? I mean, Google Now's whole purpose is to figure out what you want, where you are, and how does it give you, you know, information about that. Mm-hmm. And we'll see the same thing on Glass and where, and, you know, on the smartwatch and everything. As long as it's opt in, and people understand that they might get ads based on their location, just the way you might get ads based on your search terms, mm-hmm. then it's okay. And it's obviously not surprising. That's what Google does.
Right. This is full on Google DNA right here all over this. Mm-hmm. So yeah, it makes sense to me. It's an interesting way of using that data if you feel comfortable with it, which is kind of a great segue into the next story, Gina. they kind of go hand in hand for the most part.
It is. So last week we talked a little bit about some of the KitKat improvements that include Yellow Pages information for local businesses. When the local business calls you, you can see, and they have a place page set up. You can see their image and name. Same thing's going to happen for people. In 2014, Google plans to roll out a plan to match people's verified phone numbers with their profiles on Google+. So when you get a phone call and you're a new KitKat dialer, the profile picture of the person who is calling will appear whether or not they are in your contacts. So you can manage the numbers associated with your account. If you just go to your account settings, you can see what numbers you have associated with your account. And there's a little checkbox there that when I went and checked mine was checked by default that said, hey, help others find you based on this phone number. If that is checked, when this plan rolls out, your image will show up when you call someone. The setting is help people who have your phone number find you on Google services and connect with you. And you can, you know, obviously you can uncheck this and Hangouts also uses this information now that SMS and calls are integrated into Hangouts. So there you go. I mean, this feels kind of similar to, I mean, you know, if you integrate your Facebook contacts at some point, I had, you know, there are apps that like will show you, you know, Facebook profile picture of someone in your contacts. I really like having images, having people's photos in my contacts. I don't like having to put them in there myself.
Yes.
So this is kind of a nice, easy Google will just do it for you. As long as you're aware that your Google+ profile is increasingly becoming like your online identity across all Google services. And now with, you know, outside of Google service, just anyone who has an Android phone can see your photo if you've opted in.
Sure.
What do you guys think about this? Is this creepy? Is this weird? Or is this going to just seem natural that someone's photo will show up whether or not, even if you don't know them, if you just met them at a at a conference or something, and then they give you a ring the next week.
I don't know, Brian, start with you. What do you think about this? How do you feel about it?
I think it was inevitable.
Yeah.
Whether or not you like it. I don't know. To be honest, I like the new dialer. Like, I was just, I found it cool that I can just call businesses. You know, I don't ever really have businesses calling me that I don't already know about. But, you know, like, I was traveling and I wanted to pick something up from my camera. Like, my battery door fell off of my camera. So I just, you know, like, I dialed a camera store and boom, it popped up. And then they recommended, you know, we know we don't have that part. Why don't you call another camera store? And I had just gotten the Nexus 5, so I typed in the name of the camera store, and boom, popped up, called them. Never had to know that there was a number. It's just like I'm dialing a business name.
That's awesome.
So I guess it's inevitable to see that the dialer will move that direction. I mean, people's numbers are kind of sacred. I think it's an interesting edge case if you don't want to get, you know, your phone number associated with your profile. I think there's going to be a bit of a social disconnect there. You know, obviously people sort of view that as sacred. They don't want to give out their number because it's sort of like you have an intimate bond all of a sudden. But I guess Google's argument back will be, if you already have the number, they've called you, the cat's out of the bag. We're just going to associate it with a Google Plus account.
Right.
I don't know. I think that this was inevitable.
You're giving that person your number when you choose to call them is probably
right.
Where they're coming from. So if you have the number associated, then you've made that choice. I think it's interesting that the setting reads, help people who have your phone number find you on Google services. That person has your phone number because you called them.
Of course, I could just war dial in the dialer and get everybody's phone number. You know, I don't know what sort of rate limiting they have. That would be my biggest concern immediately is that why don't I just go either modify the APK or script it, reverse engineer the API, whatever. I'm sure there's some way that you can just iteratively dial. I'm doing dial in air quotes because you wouldn't really be dialing every single number and then get back. Here's everybody,
yeah.
You know? So
right.
That's my concern.
I suppose this you seems could like a, do that.
This seems like a good marketing opportunity for Google Voice. Right. Because if you feel like it gives you the willies, the idea that people can get your phone number, associate your, you know, your real phone number, your native phone number of your device, you know, the phone number that your cell carrier can track your location on and that kind of thing. Google can say, hey, get Google Voice, you know, ring all your devices. It's sort of the pseudo number that's yours, but not really yours. And you have a lot more control over who can call you and who cannot. So it feels like Google's almost creating a need for an anonymous or filterable kind of number.
Yeah.
Or you just get those T-Mobile $30 prepaid like burner phones.
Yeah, that's true.
That's true. I will say, and I think I mentioned this maybe last week, but I do have a Google Voice number, and every once in a while I get random numbers that are definitely not meant for me, and I'm not sure how they come, but I seem to be getting them more and more these days. And now when those calls come through, I see the business. I see who it is, and I know immediately, like, I wouldn't have recognized the number before, but now I really know, like, okay, that has nothing to do with me, just reject. So it's very useful, very handy, and I hate not having pictures of callers in my dialer. I feel like the dialer has always had so much potential since Ice Cream Sandwich to be so beautiful and
be
so
better
rich and everything,
exactly,
but it's still filled with 80% of those pictures are gray boxes with little white silhouettes or whatever the icon is for it. So I want more pictures.
Well, they finally added smart dialing with the last release 4.3 or whatever. That was like just a low-hanging fruit that it made no sense that they didn't have.
Wait a minute, explain
that. You know where you can so the numbers are associated with letters, you know, like you could dial the name of the person. For example, if I wanted to dial Brian,
right.
I'd be like 2-4, you know, 2, so for BR. Or, I mean, I'm sorry, I don't know why I said a BI, but I was getting ahead of myself. But so they didn't have that in the past, which was frustrating. And then they finally added it, but it wasn't on by default, which was kind of curious.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. They seem to be wanting to improve the dialer, but it's sort of in a haphazard, sort of ad hoc way. And I don't know. For the longest time, it was just like that one thing that you could point to as being like way better on a skin device. From an OEM versus what you got in AOSP. And I don't know. That's just my two cents on dialers.
Mm-hmm. Yep, absolutely.
Yeah, definitely a lot of potential there, but at least they're making improvements.
Yeah, so, absolutely. Yeah. Let's do an email here real quick. Roger Colho wrote in, actually didn't write into the show, wrote on the All About Android community page on Google Plus and says, I think Gina, Jason, and especially Ron Richards of Google TV fame, you're famous. Might have missed something about one of the KitKat features. The biggest issue with cutting the cord is finding where content is available to stream across Amazon, Hulu, Play, and Netflix. If these companies allow Android to index their apps, now Google, and especially in Google TV, or in my words, Android TV, because we heard those rumors a little while ago, now Google can produce results on content searches that take you directly to the content. Google knows that they have to let the content provided come to this conclusion on their own, but if they do and give Android access, we can finally search for Sherlock, be taken directly to the content in the app that it exists. Pretty awesome. Well, I think that's pretty darn awesome.
Google TV's been doing this already through the Primetime app, which is basically a video search engine where you type in Sherlock and then it tells you this is available in Netflix or Amazon or, admittedly it's limited by the places where they have agreements with with or whatever. So it's not true indexing and launching within the apps. I'll be curious if this extends to Hulu, which hasn't wanted to play with Google at all.
Mm-hmm.
Because they can easily,
I guess that would be up to Hulu to activate it on their side, whether they choose to do that or not.
Exactly. So, I agree with you. There's a ton of potential, and it's totally awesome, and it'll be great to see if this opens up more content. But, they're already kind of doing it on the Google TV side. So maybe that was the beginning of it, and we'll just see where it goes to with Android. So.
Yeah. It certainly spells out the potential of... Of that new feature. Let's take a break and thank our first sponsor of today's episode, Gazelle. We love Gazelle. Gazelle is a perfect fit for the show. If you are thinking about getting a new device, a new iPad, iPhone, Android tablet, Android phone, you want to get the new Nexus 5, Gazelle is a great place to go and sell your old device. If you have a device just sitting around gathering dust, you're not doing anything with it, or you're considering about trading the device that you're using right now for a new device, it's the perfect way to do that. You can lock in your price today and send it to Gazelle when you get your new one, because Gazelle's offer is good for 30 days. So you could go on right now to Gazelle. That's GAZELLE.com. And you find the item that you have. You tell Gazelle the condition. They'll even buy broken iPhones and iPads. So it's worth checking there as well. Get a risk-free offer for your gadgets as well as free shipping. And then you're going to get paid fast. That's by check or PayPal, or you get an extra 5% if you use an Amazon gift card as your payment receipt. If you go to gazelle.com now to get an offer for your iPhone or iPad, you can kind of see what you're going to get right away and then wait. You have 30 days essentially to send it back to them. That offer is locked in. You get paid in cash. Payment is fast. Usually within a few days of the item being received. It's risk-free. Offers, as I said, are good for 30 days. That gives you plenty of time to transfer the data, set up your new device, all that kind of stuff. And if you don't want to wipe the data from your device, Gazelle will even do that for you for free. They're very trustworthy in that regard. Gazelle has paid more than $100 million to over 700,000 customers. That's because it's easy. They also include free shipping. Most items actually qualify for a free box. They make the whole process just really, really easy to do. It's just a fast process. So you can just go to their site and take a look. They have just a ton of, obviously, iOS and Apple products, as well as Google phones, Android phones, tablets. Windows Phone is even in there, all of the different carriers. Just take a minute and take a look. It's a very, very easy process to kind of navigate and see what kind of money you could get back from Gazelle for your device. So what is your iPhone worth or your Android tablet, whatever you happen to have? Take a minute and go to gazelle.com to find out. Do it now, because your phone may lose value the longer you wait. And we want to thank Gazelle for their continued support of All About Android and the TWiT Network. It's a perfect fit.
I'm totally gazelling my Nexus 4.
Are you going to do it?
Yeah, why not? It's barely 6 months old.
Well, yeah, fair enough.
Yeah.
It's a perfect use for it. Yeah.
And I wonder why you're getting rid of it, although we already know. But let's get into hardware.
Or do we want to get into some...
Break me off a piece of that. Oh, what?
So I'm throwing a thing in. This has just happened in the chat room.
Chad's
no one even knows about this, but Android, starting today, the Nexus 7 will get tasty updates.
Boom.
I saw that fly
breaking
by
news.
Fast.
Dropping right. The breaking news hammer, Chad.
Sorry about that.
I'm going to go see if I get an update.
All right. And this was kind of a little bit of a, you know, people who have these Nexus devices were kind of wondering, I think, when it was going to happen. Are you checking right now?
Chad?
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Do you? And is it?
No.
Starting today. Starting today.
The worst words in the Android fan's life is your system is up today.
is up today.
No, it's not.
But a lot of Nexus owners were wondering, why? You know, yours isn't doing it either, huh?
No, darn. Yeah.
Is that the 2013 or the 2012?
The newest one, yeah, 2013, I guess.
Okay. I'm fascinated and curious by the logic they use with rolling those out. Why didn't I just get it? If they just said they're rolling it out, like, how do they – are they going down device ID? Like, what is the rollout plan? I don't know. That's just one of those mysteries.
Air quotes, it's a staged rollout.
Yeah, no, exactly. But what is the stage? And how do I get in that first stage?
They pick, like, some percent of devices to deliver it to.
Yeah.
And then they deliver the updates to them. And then they see if they come back online. And then they have some sort of, like, do we just brick – devices or what percentage are bricking metrics, and then after a couple stages then they'll just release it to everybody. That's certainly how it works, but I think it's totally just it's nonsense, because it just illustrates to me, if you're not confident that you've tested your code enough that you won't just give it to everybody,
right,
then it's probably not been tested enough, you know, like, well, it's just that simple.
So for Nexus devices, that essentially, you know, part of the promise is you're going to be first in line for all of these updates, which I guess technically they're right.
Technically, yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
But should these Nexus devices have gotten this much sooner? I mean, some people are in the chat room are like, you know, I think I said that they were wondering, and they're like, are you kidding? Wondering? We're ranting and raving. We wanted our updates when we first heard about it.
This is why I don't like to force, like, when you can download the thing and install it, you can bypass the waiting or whatever. Mm-hmm. Like, I always want to see, when am I going to get it? Where do I rank in their in their thing? I'm just going to sit back and wait, and I'm not even going to
sit back. You're going to hit that update button every 2 seconds. I know you.
You don't clear Google Services framework over and over and over again?
Yeah, exactly. I've done that. Yeah, it does.
Then it's like 1969. It's, you know, like, you last checked at, like, what was it, epoch time, like Unix.
Yeah.
Unix time is set to zero or something.
I mean, it's the equivalent of clearing the cache, basically.
Yeah, right.
So anyway, but moving on, in terms of waiting, we'd all been waiting patiently. We got to play with Chad's last week, but now as of Friday, I got my Nexus 5, you got your Nexus 5, Gina got a Nexus 5 that she mailed away. Look how sad she looks.
Should we actually do the drop?
Tell me something bad. Tell me it's terrible. Tell me I'm not missing a thing.
It's so bad.
Brian's got two Nexus 5s.
Horrible.
So after a couple of days, what do we think?
Oh, man. I don't know. Jason, Gina, you're not missing a thing. Oh, get this away from me.
Thank you, Jason. Thank you.
That's for you. But no, seriously, it's great fun.
Nexus 5, KitKat, initial impression, thumbs up? You had thoughts.
Well, so when I first got it, Here's what I had to do over the weekend.
Yeah.
I had to do what is kind of a no-brainer, I think, to probably most anybody, and to realize that this is a $350/$400 phone.
Sure.
Outright.
Yep.
And when I first got it, immediately I saw the screen, and I couldn't help but compare it to some of the 1080p screens that I've seen and go, okay, it's all right. It's not as great as some of the other displays that I've seen. The viewing angle is not that great. You know, like, my instant urge was to start to pick it apart. But what I realized over the weekend is $350/$400 for a device of this caliber is pretty darn awesome.
Unlocked.
It's going to have some imperfections, but no phone is ever perfect. Yeah. I've had a great time with this phone. I'm actually, the more I use it, the more impressed I am with it.
I did not approach it as a Debbie Downer like you did.
I tend to do that.
Yeah, you tend to do that. I fully embraced it. I took it out of the box. I lovely petted it. I set it all up. and it has been a delight. Not since I upgraded from the Nexus S has there been a, not that the Nexus 4 was a bad phone, But do I feel like I have a far superior phone? I think the display is fantastic. I think from a hardware standpoint, the back, the non-glass back, the yeah. rubberized whatever this is great. It feels good in my pocket. You know, it's light. It's everything. Everything's great on that part. The display is crisp and fantastic. I mean, everything looks great, even down to my, you know, my lock screen background looks badass. And, you know, and like, you know, and, yeah. and it's just like, I'm just super, super happy with it. See, there you go. Hey, 11 rockets.
Wait a minute. Is that lock screen sitting yeah, on his
nice.
Yeah, it is.
But anyway, you know, there's a couple of things that I've nitpicked about that haven't been Nexus 5 specific, rather more KitKat specific. I don't love the Google Now being to the left.
I don't mind that at all.
What?
That doesn't bother me at all.
But I think that's muscle memory because I had the way my phone was organized is that I had apps to the left.
You had your widgets on the left.
Yeah. So now I've got to remember to go right. I also like little things, like little app things, like swiping is inconsistent whether it's left or right. To like on the Google Plus app, when you look at your notifications, you got to swipe to the left to say you've read something. Mm-hmm. But on the phone dialer, you got to swipe to the right to wipe the last call. So like little things like that. And but those are more nitpicks as I'm getting used to the new OS.
Yeah, yeah.
At some point, does it stop saying "Say okay, Google" in the search bar?
No, I think it always does.
After you've done it a few times, it goes away.
Okay, yeah, because I'm like, I know Google.
Oh,
Actually, it's interesting. The Nexus 5 that I've been using as my like daily driver doesn't have "Okay, Google" anymore, but the other one that you can tell is newer says "Okay, Google." I don't know if you can tell.
Oh well,
it just activated it.
That's the danger, isn't it? What if it was like, okay, Google? Like,
yeah, I see it. Yeah.
Oh, of that, course.
Yeah, it's hard to do that without actually doing it.
Well, it's like the Moto X. Like you couldn't go into the demo room and say like, okay, Google now. Is everything turned on?
Yeah. Well, that happened over the weekend. I was showing the new phone to a friend of mine. I was showing the OK Google, and she kept on just saying OK Google, activating it, and like that's Leo pointed that last week. Like that's where the Moto X kind of comes on top of this because it's got that voice recognition, and you know. But I saw a lot of people saying, "Huh, enjoy the phone, enjoy the battery." I haven't had any problems with the battery.
Yeah, dare I say, my battery has gotten better every single day.
Yeah.
The first day, I spend a lot of my time, a lot of my life near Wi-Fi access points. I'd say the majority of my time is near Wi-Fi. So that's how I'm going to use my device. The first day was, I think it was like 13 hours and 3 hours and some odd screen on time. And I was like, okay, that's pretty darn good. I imagine on just mobile antennas, you know, being out all day, that's probably going to go down considerably. But every day, it's consistently got more and more. I had one day where I had a lot of phone calls and I was out of the house a lot, and it still lasted 14 hours, which I thought was perfectly respectable. Yesterday, I think it ended up being like 18 hours. Like, I've been really happy with the battery.
Yeah,
gotta say.
The one thing I did point out, which has nothing to do with the battery or the phone, the battery is great. It's been, and you got to turn things off and you got to find a way that works for yourself. But for me, it pointed out the fatal flaws with the Google Play Store and the app restore, the backup and restore of launching a new phone, and how the Google Play Store still needs work in that category. Because I was just like, yes, restore. I just said, yes.
Oh, yeah.
And then it started to download every app I've ever purchased in the Google Play Store, including ones for the Nexus 7. Including ones that I downloaded on the
including my Verizon on my phone.
Yeah. It's like, it was just and honestly, it took me like an hour to finally figure out I had to go stop. And then I'm like, all right, well, I finally stopped it. Okay. Like, after turning it off and I turn it back on, they start downloading again, all stuff like that. And so then I go into the Play Store, and I just sound so old when I do these rants. I hope you guys are entertained. And so I go to the Google Play Store and I realize that.
It's a real problem, though.
It is, yeah. I realize that the apps. So in the Google Play Store, when you go into My Apps, right? And this is where I'm totally nitpicking, but hey, they keep on improving it. When you go into My Apps, it's super white and washed out. So you've got the apps that you've installed, right? And then this tab is all. Now, if you're like me, we've been using Android for how long? For year, like 5 years, whatever. I've downloaded a lot of apps.
Yeah, well, there and you is do a no, show.
Right. Yeah. There is no way to resort this list by recently downloaded, install date, alphabet, or whatever. So I'm scrolling and scrolling. I'm like, oh, what was that app that I used to do that thing? And I'm trying to find it and whatever. Yeah. I've realized that I've downloaded not one, not two, but six APK installer apps over the years because I was trying to find the one APK installer app that I like because they're all called APK installer. But so my biggest complaint was the setting up the new phone and that app. You should be able to go into your account and say, when I have a new phone, it auto install these apps. Like there should be some interface. I would gladly take that. And then, yeah. So
I think that feature. Go.
No, I've been preaching that song for a while too, and Google just keeps changing the behavior. Like for a while, it would install every single app that you've ever purchased. Then it changed to every single app you've ever installed. Now it's like a rolling window of what you've installed previously. It's not really deterministic. Mm-hmm. And then whether or not you get the backups is another thing that doesn't seem to be deterministic at all. And the OEMs will point to this as being something that they view as an additional feature, like their out-of-box experience is superior to Google's. But yeah, the App Restore situation is just a low-hanging fruit that is still broken. And I agree. It actually got better. It used to be even worse because you couldn't clear an application from the list. Yep. And then when you install something and then you went back, so like I got a new phone, I choose not to check Restore so that it downloads every app. I'm like, I want to install manually what apps I want. If you did that from the My Apps list, and then you hit back, you would go back to the top of the very top of the list. So you would lose where you were in the list. And that they finally fixed per lots of yelling. But I'm 100% sold that that's a problem. So you don't sound old at all. It's completely legitimate complaint.
I feel so validated if the smart guy in the room agrees with me. That's fantastic. That's great. That's all I need. But no, because I love the functionality.
Good promise, but I never use it.
And I was like, if I was a normal user this is perfect because I got a new phone. Boom, there's all my stuff, you know, but like.
And that's exactly what it's geared for.
Admittedly, we're on the fringe and we install a lot of apps, but come on, there were apps that it installed on my machine that I installed on Google TV.
Did you can clear that? You can do a bulk style clear where if you click and hold on one, it'll show it'll gray out some that are installed on your phone. But then you can just be like, I want to get rid of that and that and that.
How am I supposed to know that?
And then that and that. I don't want any of these.
What is up, Chad? Bring in the tips.
And then you just hit the X and it says remove all those apps. And you go, yep, all the apps that I clicked and now they're all gone.
It's not working. It's not working on mine.
Click and hold.
Boom. Chad, owning.
If you do it on an app that you have installed, you can't remove it from the list. So if it's on the device, you can't remove it.
But on my apps, you're talking about.
Right. So remove them. Switch over to all.
Oh, there it is. Oh, I was trying to do it on QuickOffice, which, by the way, I was like, what is this?
Right.
And you can't uninstall that.
So if it has an X next to it, and your screen is too blown out, but if it has an X next to it.
Sorry. Here. Wait. Hang on. You gotta tell me these things, Chad.
Yeah, sorry.
How did I miss this one?
So, jump back in. If it has an X next to it, you can long hold, and then you can select a ton of apps, and you can just keep selecting, and then hit the X in the corner, and then they all get removed from that list.
Yeah.
Well, who has time to do that?
Well, it's way better than hitting the one X. The one X and being like, yes, I want to remove, hitting it three clicks for each app. Yeah.
That is a great tip. I did not know about that. Really good tip.
But it also, as YYZ in the chat room points out, it doesn't take multiple devices into account. So, I've got a Nexus 7 and I've got this. So, whereas I want,
you want the list on the Nexus 7.
Yeah.
Right. It's basically just to get rid of all those apps that you downloaded once to test out and that you know that you're never going to see them again. Yeah.
It was a nice little trip down memory lane.
it can be. Because I've gone all the way back to the very beginning.
You're like, oh, Hopper, I remember that game that I played.
There were some apps that I was just like, oh, I remember when I reviewed that on App Judgment with Eileen. And that was it's just lots and lots of apps.
I can tell you.
Yeah.
And this probably doesn't matter to anybody but myself. Very first game I ever installed on Android was called Drunk Ragdoll. It was the first purchase I ever made of a game on Android. Drunk Ragdoll. Look for it and then play it once. There you go.
I'm totally going. I'm going all the way down. Here we go. My first app, Uber Social for Twitter. And then Rings, Extended. So I can get that.
Yeah,
Rings.
Remember Rings?
Ringdroid. Yep.
Yeah, Ringdroid.
And Shazam, Weather Channel, Flashlight. Bank of America, toggle settings, cupcake. Look at that. Toggle settings app for Cupcake.
Yeah, don't delete that from your list. Keep that in there. That's
Pac-Man, Solitaire, iMeme.
That's great.
iScoot for Skype, so you can use Skype before Skype came out. Like, these are old. Or Shop Savvy barcode scanner. You could scan the barcode, and it would tell you what the product was.
Everybody had that one.
Yeah.
So Nexus 5.
MySpace.
Yay, nay.
MySpace.
I'm curious what display you're comparring to, or
I've
heard this around the office a lot. So
have you?
Yeah, I don't think because that was Leo's it looks washed out.
The first 1080p display that I had access, like that I reviewed and had for like a week and got really used to it, and I saw it immediately in that display was the Droid DNA.
Yep,
and the DNA.
Oh, it's interesting. Had a you bring the Droid DNA up.
Fantastic display. Just super.
You just walked. I feel like you just walked into a trap.
I may have.
So what if I told you that the Nexus 5 has the exact same panel that the Droid DNA uses?
I have a hard time believing that.
It is the exact same panel.
I feel like the contrast on the DNA. I feel like the darks were darker or something.
When was the last time you saw a DNA?
Well, it's been when the DNA came out.
So maybe we should go compare
months,
it.
Whatever. Yeah, I'd love to see it side by side. It's not that I don't believe you. I totally believe you.
Right.
But it was literally the first thing that I noticed when I picked up the phone. When I looked at it, I was like,
you're probably spot on because the even though it's the same panel, HTC does different tuning.
They probably
and
do.
The taste right now, especially if people are saying it looks washed out, is really the difference between when you're overdriving the saturation curve to try to make it look like AMOLED, which I see a lot of OEMs doing. Like if you look at the saturation curve after like 75 or 80% 80 IRE on the color, it'll just go to the ceiling. Like it'll be flat out red the whole way across. So it sort of looks blown out. So I think a lot of people, when they look at sRGB or stuff that maybe isn't as crazy anymore, it'll have that washed out appearance, even though that's just reality. You know, like if you go to the Note 3 or you go to a Galaxy S4, put it in movie mode, and then you get a saturation curve that's much more sane or close to reality. And you'll see things like, for me, the Play Store green, I think that's what a lot of people are talking about. It looks a lot less just sort of blown out green, really off the walls, crazy green. When in reality, it's kind of a muted pastel. It's not really super green. Same with a lot of the other UI elements. It's the same. It's a JDI 4.95-inch 1080p display, my first experience with a 1080p 5-inch display as well, the Droid DNA.
Mm-hmm.
But I think this is a lesson that, there's a big amount of – there's a lot of tuning that OEMs can do in their calibration profiles. And I've been kind of pushing handset makers, OEMs – I mean, obviously, Google has kind of made it their task as well to sort of target sRGB. And I think that you will see a little bit of pushback where people are sort of adjusting or maybe it, you know, like it's sort of I make it analogous to, you know, like Pepsi versus Coke, right? Sweeter is always going to win and just naive testing. The same thing here with displays. If you go into a Best Buy, they're going to have the displays in the vivid mode. You know, it's very saturated.
Yeah, exactly. They crank it up so that you notice it.
Mm-hmm. This is that same sort of taste test.
Totally. And I will say that over the course of the weekend, my eyes have adjusted. And now I don't really see that. I don't see it as much as I did when I first looked at it. Huh. And that's part of what I had said earlier, which is that when I first got it, I had reservations. Over the course of the weekend, they completely went away. I'm absolutely loving it.
Upgrade. My complaint is that there's light leak at the top. There's a little bit of light leakage at the very top. Or at least it seems to be on my units.
I see a little bit of that.
It's sort of accentuated by the fact that now they have that transparency at the top and bottom.
Mm-hmm.
But, this is a panel that previously was like state of the art. So now it's available in volume. But it's also interesting to see an LG phone without an LG display in it. Kind of ironic.
Yeah.
You know?
It's interesting.
I wonder how much that hurts.
I will say just two kind of final other notes on this, one in the pro and one in the con. I know I'm late to the game, but life on LTE is amazing.
Yeah.
I use Pocket Cast and I like to download I don't like to stream, I like to download the file. And what previously took minutes just went boom, boom, boom and was done. One con, though, is the little speaker at the top. The fact that it's raised, when I pull down the notification, I kind of scratch my fingertip on that hole. And it drives me nuts.
I don't know if I've done that.
Yeah. But other than that,
that's a good point.
Yep. Yeah.
Oh, man, I'm just me and Brian are like this. I love it.
I mean, those are totally valid complaints. I guess my biggest complaint with the visual style that's changed is that we have the status bars that are white now when things are connected, and previously it was blue when you weren't connected to Google managed, you know, GMS or Google Play services.
Sure, yep. Right.
So that was a big head case or a big head fake for a while. And now it's, there's this weird, I don't know if the right word is anti-pattern, or there's this weird pattern going on now where everybody wants to hide the data status indicators. You know, like you used to have up, down for when you're connected.
Yep.
So you could see like I'm transmitting data, I'm receiving data. Now that's gone for whatever reason, and it's in the notification shade under settings. So I really missed that, because that would tell me when I was connected and when I could expect data to start flowing in. And obviously in LTE, that it's really fast to get, you know, that first byte to get the radio resources assigned to you. Previously on HSPA Plus, WCDMA, you'd have like almost a second of setup. And that's what people, at least for me, that's a big thing in LTE, is that just time to first byte, time to that, you know, RRC connected state is way faster now. But unfortunately, now I don't have the ability to sort of get told when that's done, because the indicators are gone, mm-hmm. you know.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. That's my biggest, like, just annoyance. But I guess I've gotten used to it now.
All right. So, moratorium on Nexus 5 talk. We now it's a let's get over it. Let's move on.
You're right. We should get over it and move on. Camera's actually better than people are saying. Okay,
camera
we'll move
is
on.
Camera that's is
okay,
better we'll than people are saying. Yeah.
Don't you want to talk about camera? What do you guys think about the camera?
We can talk about camera. We just probably have to get rid of something else.
Did we figure out why it's a dime? Do we know that?
No.
Did we ever find out what that is?
A style?
Is it a style?
I don't know. Or yeah. Maybe it has something to do with the OIS. I don't know.
All right. Let's move on.
I don't know, but yes, camera is better than people are saying.
Thumbs up on the Nexus 5.
Okay. Because we want to ask you about the NVIDIA Tegra Note 7.
Right.
You wrote one of your fantastic reviews of the Tegra Note 7 earlier this morning, which is basically Tegra's follow-up, essentially, you say, to last year's Nexus 7 for many different reasons. Explain a little bit about the device and kind of why it exists. What is NVIDIA doing here?
So it's like you said, it's a spiritual successor to the original Nexus 7, which was a Project Kai device. So, you know, one of NVIDIA's ambitious efforts was to sort of bring the tablet use experience down to like a lower price point, specifically $199. Obviously, the first device to kind of define that was the Nexus 7. Obviously, Google kind of went the other way with the successor to the Nexus 7 and went with Qualcomm, you know, APQ8064. For the SoC, so obviously NVIDIA makes Tegra. They want to have a device that sort of is the flagship for, you know, both their SoC and also obviously sells units. And the outcome is, of course, the Tegra Note. And I keep calling it Tegra Tab. So if I accidentally call it Tegra Tab, that's the old name. Now it's Tegra Note. To really emphasize the fact that it has this ability to take notes with a capacitive stylus, in a fashion that is very close to the previous active stylus. And I was kind of impressed. They are able to do this weird, I don't know if weird is the right word, but this different sort of sensing. And really, there's low latency when you're, you know, inking or trying to take notes. That's sort of their big value aspect, is that it's a $199 device that has a lot of the features that, you know, the Galaxy Note 8 had. And at the same time, it's faster. I guess the big trade-off versus the Nexus 7 is that the display really isn't as high res or as good. You know, with the Nexus 7, we saw this big improvement. With the high DPI display, the display on the Tegra Note 7 is sort of the same as the previous gen Nexus 7, 1280x800. But it does have things like stereo speakers, which you're looking at there.
Yeah, kind of HTC One-ish.
Right, that's what I said. I think it looks like a huge HTC One. But of course, anything with the front-facing speakers is going to look like an HTC One, I guess. So,
right? Yeah,
I don't know. You know, it's sort of like any device with the camera off to the side and in the top portion is going to look like an iPhone. But I don't know. It's an interesting device. It's $30 cheaper than the Nexus 7, the new Nexus 7, and at the same time, it has the ability to take notes. So it's sort of a weird trade-off. You can lose the high resolution display get the ability to take notes and save $30. Or if taking notes isn't a big deal to you, you know, I think the Nexus 7 is probably still a better purchase. So I don't know. It exists in this sort of interesting little trade-off space, and the 7-inch tablet market has gone from being sort of served only by the previous gen Nexus 7 to, like, you know, now there's three devices, at least in the Android space, that I would say are the flagships: the Note 8, Tegra Note, and the new Nexus 7. And of course, if you want an iPad Mini, just get an iPad Mini.
Right.
I'm impressed by it. I like the way that the back looks. I think it takes a nod from, you know, the rubber dimpled surface of the previous one. The camera isn't bad. I mean, it's sort of baseline for what you'd get out of a tablet camera. It's brought to market by EVGA, which is sort of like a GPU partner. It's just an interesting device. I think at $199, it's a great price point, you know, but it's a competitive space now. You know, there's a lot more players. Mm-hmm. And for $30 more, you get a huge, you know, step forwards in display resolution.
Yeah, so it's almost like what's really important to you. Is it the storage, and then of course the kind of stylus capability? Which, I mean, stylus for a $200 tablet, not that bad. It's not an active stylus necessarily. It's not going to bring the same capabilities as an S Pen, but interesting that they were able to kind of roll that into a $200 7-inch tablet. That's pretty impressive.
It has everything that you'd expect from an active stylus except for hover,
right,
which is the really cool part of what sort of proprietary sensing they're doing. Like, mm-hmm, it has pressure sensitivity. They have a chisel tip that has orientation. So if you're writing in one direction versus the other, you will see the width of the line change. I was very impressed. Like, it's less laggy than the Note implementations. Like, my baseline is the Note 10.1 2014 edition. Which is a long name, but that's sort of their bigger note-taking flagship, and the Note 3. And there's input latency. Like, when you're writing, the input will lag behind where your stylus is. I was very impressed on the Note 7 that there's really essentially none. Like, I couldn't detect it. And that's sort of been one of the, I don't know, low-hanging fruit or just user experience issues with the previous gen of, you know, active digitizers.
Yeah.
It's kind of awesome. It's an interesting device, to say the least. I ended it and sort of said, you know, it depends on what you really want. Now there's a lot of choices. It's hard to really say, you know, like, this is the best device, because really there's so many different priorities now.
Absolutely.
And it's got an SD card. So if an SD card is like a big thing to you, then you should put your money where your mouth is and buy this as an SD card.
And you'll spend less. And you can use that extra $30 to buy your card.
There you go.
Yeah. Gina, are you going to be getting an NVIDIA Tegra Note 7 for yourself? Or for a developer in your life?
No, but it's cool.
For testing your app.
That's kind of how I feel about it, too. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't. It's great, but it has, you know, it certainly is. It's not running the latest version, but they're going to update it within a month here. And that was sort of one of the glaring things for me, at least, is that, you know, Shield is at 4.3. It's a little weird to be launching essentially the same sort of platform device with the same VSP running 4.2. But, I mean, they even have their own update schedule. So that makes sense, I guess. It's not something that a normal consumer is going to be able to understand the same way I am, but
but
that's
cool
the update
stuff.
Story
excellent, awesome. The NVIDIA Tegra Note 7, definitely recommend that you hop over to On Tech and check out Brian's review. Comprehensive as always, and just a interesting device, interesting for $200 especially. Very, very cool stuff. Gina, glass, some interesting glass news this week, I would say.
Yeah, two quick bits of Glass news. The first is that Google announced that Glass is going to be updated with Play Music and All Access, which is the Google Play Music streaming radio product. So sometime in the next few weeks, Glass users will be able to listen to music through their new Glass-compatible stereo earbuds. We saw the earbuds last week, and I got to tell you, I thought those earbuds were really ugly.
Yeah.
But now that I know I can listen to All Access, I feel a little bit better about them. And they can access anything in the Play Store by just saying, okay, Glass, listen to, you know, Justin Bieber or whatever you want to listen to. And it will also have song identification. So, okay, Glass, what song is this? Really cool. Kind of harkens back to what we were talking about earlier about searching for streaming content within apps. You know, you're kind of getting that same functionality for music. really good reason to maybe put that dumb-looking earbud in your ear. And if you are dying to spend $1,500 and get yourself glass, but you don't know anybody, you get an invitations, there is now a public sign-up page. Go to google.com/glass, click on how to get one, and you just fill out your information, say what you would do with glass if you had it, and then, you know, I don't know, cross your fingers and toes and hope that maybe Google will get in touch if there's a spot open. So that's one way to kind of throw your name in the hat if you want to get yourself some glass.
So does the earbud thing work with the, like, would that work with your glass? Now I'm regretting this. Because one of my biggest pet peeves is that I hate having earbuds with the cords, and I just want wireless headphones, and I look at the ones that I don't like them out there.
Yes, as far as I know, they would. And they basically connect right on the micro USB.
That's really
and extend out, so it's all in one piece.
That's really tempting now.
I know, it's kind of interesting.
I'm sorry, Ron.
One earbud.
Color caps. Don't forget those.
Because here's my whole thing. Everybody was talking about me getting Google Glass, and Jason and I talked about this offline, and just real quickly, I know we're running long. I can't justify $1,500. I'm a casual developer manager. Like, if I was making apps or something like that, then I would totally do it. But at $1,500, it's a lot. I mean, and even with the earbud aspect and the music aspect, that's got me regretting it. But I gotta be responsible.
The music aspect is kind of a I always thought was a no-brainer inclusion to it. If you have it on your head already,
the earbud totally makes sense.
Like actually, when I was using it, the bone conduction. I was like, I just want podcasts to stream through bone conduction while I'm walking along. I'm listening to a podcast, and then it makes more sense for me to be wearing this when I'm going from point A to point B. Yeah. So good to see that they're doing that.
Yeah. Is it just a mono earbud or
no?
It's not stereo?
One of the screenshots that Chad showed, it shows one going down. I thought it was mono, but actually in that screenshot, it shows another extending back around to the other side.
Oh, weird. Yeah, when I saw the pictures, it looked like it was just plugged into one, and that was it. So I guess you look like a weird Secret Service agent.
Yeah, right. Yeah, I mean, maybe they have two, but you can see it right there, cool. the second cable kind of wrapping around.
It's unfortunate to me that they couldn't just fix the bone conducting thing.
Like, I agree.
It was too quiet, and there were some weird issues with it. And for me, it was always like a little bit of hair would get in the way, and then I couldn't hear anything.
Interesting.
You know, like if I wore headsets on top of it, then there would be enough pressure to push it in, and then I could actually hear.
Yeah.
Which doesn't make any sense at all, but... just to give you an example.
I think the other, the big thing with glass, the big challenge, in my opinion, is the battery aspect. If it's, the more they roll in functionality into something that they expect you or hope that you'll want to wear all the time, the more an incredible battery needs to be packed into these suckers so that you can do all of these cool things and not have to worry about plugging it in every 2 to 3 hours.
Well, yeah. Like
well, that
my
was
my
OMAP 4. So that got killed too. You know, like the rationale for killing Galaxy Nexus was that TI wasn't maintaining the BSP anymore. Mm-hmm. So obviously, since Google Glass is an OMAP 4430, that's killed too. Thankfully, I mean, there's no reason you should be shipping that inside of Glass anymore.
Right.
Yeah. All right.
There we go. All right. Let's take another break real quick here. Thank one of our other sponsors of today's episode, 99 Designs, welcoming them back once again to All About Android. 99 Designs connects people looking for great graphic design with a community of more than 225,000 graphic designers from all over the world. It's an excellent community. They say on their site now, 261,627 designers. So the number's gone up. Whether you need a new logo, mobile app, business card, t-shirt, or really any other kind of graphic design, you're going to find the right designer for your project at 99 Designs. It's a cool service and a cool way to kind of bring other people into your project. Here's how it works. You tell 99 Designs what you need. Dozens of designers from their community will submit designs created just for you. You give those designers your feedback to help them refine their designs, and then you select and pay for your favorite. You pick from the very best and select the one that you want to go with and you want to use. If you're developing an Android app, you can get anything from icons, buttons, all that kind of stuff for your entire mobile app designed at 99 Designs. You can just see right now, Chad's showing off a bunch of really awesome app designs that were created and designed for the 99 Designs service. Just a really great place to go when you've got a great idea for something and you don't have the design skills to pull it off yourself.
why not pull in people that do and pull them in mass, and then pick your very favorite one out of all of those options. You can start your next graphic design project for as low as $199. Visit 99designs.com/AAA. That's going to get you a $99 power pack of services for free. A power pack actually gives you more designer time and attention. 99 Designs will bold, highlight, and feature your design project in 99 Designs Marketplace, and you'll get nearly twice as many designs. So all you have to do, visit 99designs.com/AAA to take a look, see what their designers are doing, and see if it's right for the project that you have in mind. And we thank 99 Designs for their support, their continued support of All About Android and the TWiT Network. You guys are great. It's a great service. Go check it out. All right. Really quickly, let's get into apps.
This would be appropriate. Let's dip our toe into some apps.
Yeah, let's just dip our toe in some apps and move on. There really isn't a whole lot more to say about this. Maybe there is, though. Cyanogen Inc. Released their anticipated Cyanogen Mod installer app on the Play Store today. Also, the desktop client is available through their site. Now, this service is not going to work on every phone. They have a list of all the devices on their wiki site. And, you know, nearly all of the Nexus devices are listed there. Most of the Galaxy S varieties, the HTC One variants, those are also more or less all supported. Verizon is pretty absent from the list, except for, of course, the Galaxy Nexus. Basically, they're looking at devices that don't have locked bootloaders. And, you know, just take a look at the list and you can see if yours is supported. But essentially, this app guides you through prepping your device to be recognized and ready for flashing their ROM onto your device using the desktop client that's now also available. So it's the CyanogenMod installer, hopefully making it easy to break your warranty, potentially. It's true.
Big day for them. That's a big move. That's a bold move.
It's a big year for them.
Yeah. Big month.
I hope it all goes well for the people that choose to do this. It sounds like the service works pretty well, but ultimately what this, you can't avoid it, what this ends up doing is pulling people that have maybe never done this before into the process, and hopefully it's foolproof enough that people, you know, don't end up in a strange situation with their device as a result. But it sounds like it's going to do okay. So, Gina, I'm super excited about this email. Actually, it's not really an email. It's an update. Go for it.
An update. Yeah. Last week, we showed you Matthew Holtzum. He's a CompSci student interested in mobile app or mobile game development. And last week, we showed you that he started building the All About Android podcast game, which is awesome. And we were so excited about it when he showed you. Well, Matthew is killing it. He's building this game and he's writing a development diary at the Wandering Wizard game.wordpress.com. You can check it out. He did two diary entries. He's been getting all these great suggestions from people on Google Plus in the AA community and in his, development communities. He's made such cool improvements. You can see Chad has the screenshot up on the screen here. It's an endless runner, so you can see that's Jason. That's the Jason character running.
That's me. That's me in the hoodie.
Sorry, that's the Ron character. Sorry. And he's changed the jewels to Android desserts.
That's so cool.
There's now a new really mean patent troll who comes after you, throws gavels at you wearing a Mac jetpack that you have to avoid. You get
little
pop-up
notifications.
Yeah. There's a little story here. Let's start by looking at the results of last week's arena. Oh my goodness, it's totally unprecedented. A three-way tie. What are we supposed to do now?
And now check this out.
Hey guys, I have an awesome idea. As a tiebreaker, let's see who can eat the most Android-themed desserts. And to make things more interesting, I'll build an obstacle course containing the treats.
The end.
Yeah.
Seriously.
Oh, God, that's hysterical. You see, his premise isn't fair because if we're eating desserts, I'm clearly going to win. So you need Chad to make an obstacle course to level the playing field.
I just like how I had a little pick, like in Minecraft.
Tutorial complete.
And then
wow.
NFC.
NFC mode and Google Glass NFC mode.
Power up. I love the Loon power up.
Project Loon.
Project Loon.
That's so cool.
Multiple exclamation points. Google Glass.
Seriously.
This dude wins.
I know.
It's so cool. The game looks amazing, Matthew. Keep at it. It's awesome. It's so cool to watch that get developed. So
App of the Year nomination. That totally is going to get the arena pick for the year.
If you ever need voiceover work, I think that we're ready
that
for
would
you.
Be brilliant.
We're available.
That would be great.
This is unprecedented. We have a three-way tie.
Yes. We can do this. All right. Yes. Awesome work. Can't wait to see where it all lands.
So good. All right, so before we get to the arena, let's thank our last sponsor of the night. We want to thank Hulu for sponsoring this episode and Hulu Plus. And listen, you know, you've tried Hulu.com. You know, everyone knows that's where you can get some of the great streaming content online. But with the Hulu Plus app, now you can watch your favorite shows anytime, anywhere. Hulu Plus lets you watch thousands of hit TV shows and a selection of acclaimed movies on your television or on the go with your smartphone or tablet. And it all streams in HD for the best viewing experience you can get. With Hulu Plus, you can watch your favorite current TV shows like Saturday Night Live, the new show, The Blacklist, which I'm enjoying, New Girl, which has been excellent this season, or the show I've been watching a lot because I have to because I'm a comic book nerd, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., which has been awesome. It's all up on there on the Hulu Plus app, and it's awesome to watch in streaming HD. It's beautiful. You can also check out exclusive content, including Hulu originals such as The Awesomes, starring Saturday Night Live's Seth Meyers, and Moon Boy, starring one of my favorite actors currently right now, Chris O'Dowd, who was in Bridesmaid, and he was in Family Tree on HBO recently. And I'm totally going to watch Moon Boy because Chris O'Dowd is awesome. So furthermore, Hulu Plus offers a great selection of acclaimed films and your favorite classic TV shows. For only $7.99 a month, you can stream as many TV shows and as many movies as you want, wherever you want. So listen up. Right now, you can try Hulu Plus free for 2 weeks when you go to HuluPlus.com/twit. That's a special offer just for Twit listeners, so take advantage of it. Make sure you go to HuluPlus.com/twit and get the extended free trial, and they'll know that we sent you. We want to thank Hulu Plus for their support of Twit and hope you enjoy watching instantly with Hulu Plus.
Thank you, Hulu Plus.
Awesome. Hulu is a must-have app.
Go check out the app. All right. Let's get into the arena.
So many enter, but only one lives. Arena.
Last week, four apps entered. One reigns supreme. Apparently, it was
close.
Yeah, it's very close. It's still very close. Stay Alive.
It was Moves was on top. Not that I was looking, but Moves was number one up until yesterday. And then Stay Alive pulled ahead.
Stayed alive.
But it was neck and neck for all week. So, I heard. I didn't check. I heard.
Supposedly, yes. So, Gina, that was your app, right?
Yes.
Excellent.
Good job.
Yes.
Congrats on the win.
Thank you.
34% of the votes. Moves, 28%. Robot Unicorn Attack 2, 28% also. One vote separated second and third place. That means I lost. Saga, fourth place. With 11%.
I will be honest. I was excited to have two wins in a row.
But it's nice
when
it works out
like
that.
So, Gina, good job.
It's nice when it works out like that.
Do you guys keep stats on who usually wins?
No, we used to. The Tech Ace in the chat rooms when we were on Mondays used to keep track and every week would tell us. But then I got way too competitive and it stopped being fun. So we had that.
it started being like a real arena.
Yeah, it started being less about the apps and more about who's going to win. And we're like, you know what? This is about showcasing apps.
Let's just say our previous co-host Eileen is no longer on the show. So is that related?
Oh my!
I'm glad you dialed it down. I would get super competitive and just start using Link 8.
Having said that, it would be interesting at the very end of the year to get the tally.
I would like to. Not on a weekly basis,
but at the end of the year, it's like, take a look back.
Yeah.
Which ones, you know, brought the better apps?
Yeah.
I don't know. Just throwing that out there. Okay. My app was very handy since I got the Nexus 5 because actually what I really wanted to track was just kind of performance over time. And sometimes I get kind of nerdy and I want to, you know, get an app that gives you a nice kind of window into all the different things about your device and how it's running and how it's using memory and battery. So this is definitely not the sexiest app in the world, and I'm okay with that. But it's been pretty handy, and it's called System Panel. It's an app slash task manager. I don't really use it for the task manager aspect, but I can show you right now. It's always running, of course, so I have the notification up here, monitoring active. I keep that high priority so that it never gets shut down by the OS. But essentially what you see here is a little kind of instant kind of indicator of a few things: your CPU, your memory usage, your storage, your clock, kind of your transfer, your data transfer. And obviously here you have all of your tasks that you can do whatever you want with. You can go in there and kind of find out just a whole host of information on everything that's running. On a per app basis, you can kind of see from, so these are three different days here, kind of what the battery charge, and you can compare it against what the app actually was doing at any given time. So you can kind of dial in and see, okay, that maybe this is a rogue app that I don't want necessarily running all the time, or whatever the case may be. If you have a hunch, this will give you a chance to kind of hop in there and really see. But the reason that I ended up installing it initially was because I saw a screenshot. I think it was on Reddit. Somebody was kind of talking about their Nexus 5 and how they were tracking performance, and saw the screenshot of the history. Let's see here. Why suddenly? Oh, that's right. It's in top apps. Plot. So what you can do here is you can actually show of the device over time just a number of things. So I could go back as far as a week, and I could really see, like, on a day-to-day basis, you know, this shows me kind of like my battery charge. I can see how far in each given day it made it. Obviously, this is kind of hard to judge, but it's really nice, I think, to be able to take a look at this and see at a glance, like, how I'm doing. If I want to dial in closer to like today, then I can, and I can see the discharge rate, you know, when was it getting hit a lot, and that was ultimately bringing the battery down. Device usage, this is display on, so you can see when your display was on. And if you know what you're looking for specifically, if you have a hunch about an app or a specific use case that you had, this just kind of allows you to kind of take a look at the performance of your device over time, match it with, you know, some nice, pretty graphs and everything like that. And maybe this is information that's handy to you. I know it's been just kind of interesting for me. I end up hopping in there a couple of times every day to just kind of see, like, okay, my screen was off, but suddenly there was a spike there. Why was there a spike there? Why was my phone working overtime? And you can kind of go in and investigate. It does give you kind of an indication of the different cores of the device and how they're being allocated, network usage, memory, battery, all that kind of stuff. But just kind of an interesting diagnostics app, I guess. It is System Panel, and it's $2.99 in the Play Store. And yeah,
data is power.
I use System Panel all the time. I love that app. Yeah.
It's a good kind of display of a lot of different information at once. I just liked how it's all laid out, and very handy. So there you go.
Does it require root?
No, it doesn't. And that's part of the reason. Interesting. Part of the reason why I went with this one, because I haven't rooted my device. I don't plan on rooting this anytime soon.
Yet.
I will eventually. That's what I always end up doing. But right now I'm going to run a stock for as long as I can. So,
all right. Fair enough.
As long as I want to.
I'm going to predict that's going to win. Anyway.
I'm not sure. So we got some powerful apps in here today.
So for my app, it's an app I stumbled upon as I was looking. I was like, let me find a new app. Let me find something I don't even know I want. And it's got a silly name, but it's very well designed, and it's pretty simple and pretty powerful in terms of what it does. It's called Flib. Told you it was a silly name. And it's basically a converter. A lot of times, actually just the other night, I was looking at a recipe, and it was a British recipe, and I didn't know how many grams or ounces and that sort of thing. And I always find myself going to the web and trying to, you know, figure out centimeters to inches and things like that. This is an app that does it all and does it pretty while it's doing it. So here, I'll show you it right here. So if you open up Flib, basically every time it loads, it spins through this color box, and that the color it lands on is the color of the app. So it's a different color every time you log onto it, and you can go and you can change the color manually. But basically, so if you see here, it's got a bunch of different buttons, very beautiful, very prettily designed. It's got angles, it's got area, it's got base, it's got length, it's got energy, power, mass, speed, all time, all the pressure, all these types of things that you would want to be able to convert, as well as volume. So for this particular case, let's go to data. So here I can type in, I can change, I've got the from and the to, and I can change the measure. So I tap that and it changes here. So it's got bits and bytes and kilobits and megabits and gigabytes. So I'm going to say, let's go from gigabytes to bits. So if I want to know how many, if I've got 9 gigabyte, if I can, my tapping is off here. Take that. There we go. So if I've got 9, it immediately converts it to how many bits are in that. Really fast, does the calculations really easily. It's easy to change between them. If I change the angle, so here if I want to go degrees to, it's got radian, revolution, angular. Like if you're a math student, this is great for conversions. Something a little more standard for all of us is if you're doing any sort of, if you're going to England and you want to know what the temperature is in Celsius to Fahrenheit, which is always good to know, you can just type that in. 15 degrees Celsius is 59 degrees Fahrenheit. So it's pretty much every sort of conversion thing you can think of, and it does it very nicely. So if you are going, like, for example, with cooking, a lot of times you got to do volume. So if I want to change, you know, if I want to go from, you know, how many teaspoons to a quart, so I can do, I've got 65 teaspoons, that's 0.339 quarts. It makes a lot of that stuff very easy to use. If you're in the kitchen and you've got your tablet doing the recipe, you can quickly do the conversions. If you're doing any sort of work around the house and you need to measure distance or hanging pictures and all that sort of stuff, you know, I had this for a couple of days and it was already proving its worth. To get into some of the neater stuff here, if I go into the settings, if I tap that, all the panels flip around. It's part of the 10 days one app project where they build an app in 10 days, which I think is interesting. But you're able to change the color, so I can cycle through the different colors and the different color value. So if color is really a thing you need, you can change it to the color you want. Once you get familiar with the different boxes and the buttons, it becomes really easy to use, and you're calculating way across really quickly. So it's totally free in the App Store. It's a beautiful app, works on phone and tablet. It's pretty nice. It's one of those apps that you have installed and you don't always need it every day, but when you have it, you're thankful you actually have it installed. So Flib. There you go.
Flib. Yeah, I had to check a few times to make sure that I wasn't totally misspelling it because it looks, yeah.
Yeah, it's a silly name, but hey, there are hard names. You know, it's hard.
Awesome.
It's hard to name products.
Yeah, I guess so. There's a lot of products out there.
Yep.
Cool. So that is Flib, F-L-I-B. Brian, I have your app installed, and it's pretty nifty. I'll try and show it off while you talk about it.
So my app that I chose is one that I use a lot. It's kind of near and dear to me, and it's called IP Cam Viewer, which sounds strange, but it's for viewing IP cams, as the name would have you, as you led to believe. So I have a ton of like security cameras that I use, and I also use it for like monitoring stuff. And it's just a great app because this developer is always developing. He's always adding more cameras. Like the amount of support that he dedicates to this app is crazy. I don't think I've seen an app get as many updates as this app. So anyways, you can do things like PTZ control, which is pan, tilt, zoom. So you can like scroll around if you're on he has a set of traffic cameras that are sort of defaults, and you can scroll around inside them, or like look back and forth. If you have a camera that's fancy, or you can be like a matrix of all the, oh man, that's not good.
Yes.
Yeah. You can have a matrix of like all the cameras that you're looking at. And, anyways, I use it for testing. I think it's really handy. He's always been developing. It is cross-platform, like there's an iOS version and an Android version, which is great. So I can use the same config file for my personal IP cameras and sort of port back and forth. You know, I know a lot of people use this with like the Foscam, which is sort of a popular IP camera, and you can use that as like a baby monitor. Just a ton of support. Like obviously in there he's got like a ton of drive cameras if you want to just look at like preset webcams. You know, or monitor for security reasons like I usually do. Like generally I'm looking for packages and the like, and it's super useful for that. Or if like I have a friend coming over, you know, or if you're away, you can view them. You can obviously listen to the sound There's like a button for that as well. Just a great all around app. I don't know. I use it all the time when I'm running my own little surveillance state.
That is pretty awesome, I got to say. I just added Fairview and Cole in Boise, Idaho, an intersection I know very well. So when I want to relive the days of living in Boise and going to Fairview and Cole, I can.
It's very Twin Peaks.
Yeah, it works with like MJPEG cameras or, you know, their H.264 cameras. He spent a lot of time making sure everything works. And there are just so many cameras. If you go into the add a camera view, like, the amount of drivers that he has is absolutely ridiculous. And I don't know, for me, that's just kind of like a lot of the other IP camera viewers that I've used are sort of like abandonware after a little bit. Mm-hmm. And this one has just always been rock solid. Like, it's the number one thing I install because I really want to be able to look at all of my cameras when I'm out and about, you know, see if I've missed a package or something in my testing is screwed up, you know, or that sort of stuff. So like I have a ton of cameras, for example, on my own that are sort of my own cameras, but I don't know. It may not be applicable to everybody, but that's an app that I use all the time.
It's awesome. Love it. IP Cam Viewer. There's a free version and then there's the $3.99 version. I have the free version installed and it seemed pretty functional to me. You know, I'm not sure what the $3.99 version does. Maybe just removes the ads that you saw, but very, very usable on the free version as well. So cool. Good pick there. That's IP Cam Viewer. And then Gina, you picked one that actually just kind of released, I think today even, right?
Yeah, it's brand new. My pick this week is Camera Awesome. It's by Smug Mug. This is a really, really popular camera replacement app. Basically, it's a camera, but with editing capabilities built in. And it just got released. I just was playing with it really just today. And Jason, I'm sorry, it's limited to a certain number of devices. The Samsung Galaxy S3, S4, the Galaxy Nexus Note 2, 3, the Nexus 4, Nexus 7, Nexus 10, Nexus 5 coming soon, and a couple others. HTC One, which is what I'm using, it works on. So it doesn't work everywhere just yet. But they say more support is coming soon. And so this is, you know, I'm not a huge photography nerd. It's a nice camera app. It's got an iOS-like design. It doesn't look like an Android app. It looks like an iOS app that got ported over. The camera's fine. I think that the defining feature here, the feature that I think is worth the $2.99, it costs $2.99, almost $3, is this Awesomize button. It's actually not a button. It's a slider. It's basically Camera Awesome's Auto Awesome feature, like Google Plus has,
Secret
which I've
sauce.
Gotten totally addicted to. Like, I love Google Plus's Auto Awesome. What I love about it, you know, you take pictures, they get uploaded to Google Plus, and then a few hours later or the next day, you get an email, hey, you've got pictures here, Google sorted out the best ones and whatever. That's really great, but you kind of have to wait for it. It happens in the cloud. Mm-hmm. What I like about Camera Awesome is that you can do the Awesomize, which is really good, and it happens locally right on your phone, and you can use that slider up and down. So, you know, on Google Plus, it's high or low, nor, you know, medium or high or off. The Awesomize button is kind of a slider, and it really does make your pictures look way better. I'm not a great photographer, but it makes my pictures look really, really, really good. I went through a bunch of pictures of my daughter this afternoon just testing this out. And the Awesomize button is just one of a gazillion textures, filters, transformation things you can apply. I mean, frames. You can do all sorts of editing of your photos. And that's in addition to just the camera, extra camera features. The camera has composition guides. You can do, you know, screen guides for the horizon, rule of thirds, golden ratio, shooting modes, high speed burst mode, HDR. It's got image stabilization. It's got face recognition. Tons of camera settings that you might not see otherwise. It's got specialized features for NVIDIA Tegra powered devices, slow motion video, enhanced HDR, integrated stylus support. All that stuff is really, really great. I think that the killer feature is the Awesomize button and the rest of the other filters, although I understand that in sort of a post-Instagram world, we're all tired of filters. But it really did make my photos look a lot better after the fact. So you can load photos into the editor from your gallery if you've taken them with the stock camera or another camera, or you can just use the camera awesome camera. And yes, this just came out this week. They're going to be supporting more devices soon. It's got pretty good reviews. I think people are upset that not all devices are quite supported yet.
Yeah, of course.
But yeah, it's looking really nice. I see why this was such a hugely popular iOS camera app. So that's Camera Awesome, $2.99, and definitely check to see. Well, you'll see when you try to install it on your device whether or not it's compatible with your device before you pull the trigger.
Yeah, I'm excited to download it on the 5.
Camera Awesome actually launched with the Tegra Tab. I mean, Tegra Note 7. I don't know why I keep calling it Tegra Tab.
Tegra Tab's a good name.
It launched with it. I know, it sort of rolls off the tongue, like alliteration.
Tegra Tab.
Yeah, that's true.
But it launched there, so I played with it for a while. It's great. I like the ability to do the you can select a different point for autofocus than you do auto exposure.
Yes.
Which is great. The only mistake they make is the same one that Google does. They show you a 16:9 crop of a 4:3 image. Yeah.
Right.
It's unfortunate. Hmm.
It's funny, that's from the Smug Mug. I forgot about Smug Mug.
Yeah.
I didn't
know. I was like,
what have they been up to? Oh, apparently they're wildly successful on iOS. Good for them. So, yeah. So there you go. Good job.
So that is Camera Awesome. It's $2.99 in the store, in the Play Store. Check it out and see if your device is supported. I'm sure more devices will be opened up and supported over time. I have to imagine camera for developers, developing an app for the camera is probably one of the harder things to do,
because it's got to be
camera hardware across all the devices is completely different. So
I think
it's a challenge.
Camera Awesome is going to win. That's my prediction now.
We'll see. Good apps this week. AAApoll.com/135 if you want to vote for your favorite app from this week. Hop into the straw poll. That's AAApoll.com/135. Early reports. Got to check on them real quick. Camera Awesome. Doing awesome.
9 votes already.
Yep. See
where. Never trust the early returns.
I know, exactly.
Yeah, it's true.
Anyone possibly swoop in last minute and steal Ron's win. So,
I know.
Exactly.
I don't know.
A lot of great conversation and discussion on today's show. Really, really great show, you guys.
Yeah,
and
good stuff.
Brian, it's always a pleasure. The show, the intelligence of the show raises even more when you are on, because you just bring this depth to your hardware, and it's just great having you on board talking about this stuff with us.
It's always awesome being on with you guys. Yeah, I have fun.
This is your chance to kind of talk about what you have going and what you're working on and where people can find your work.
So I'm still working on the Nexus 5 review. I'm not going to give an ETA because I just always miss them.
Yeah.
But it'll be very soon. It's the immediate thing on my future. And I was working on a parallel with the Tegra Note, so there thankfully wasn't a lot of rage with people who have been asking, where's the Nexus 5 review? But that's next. You can always get me on ununtech.com. I'm at Nerd Talker on Twitter, Google Plus as well, Brian Klug 1. Thanks for having me.
Awesome. Well, we will definitely be asking you to come on sometime again soon. Love having you on the show. Gina, what's new in your world?
Hey, I'm still closing. Got 4 days left in my crowdfunding campaign for ThinkUp. You go to thinkup.com. Join the campaign. We've got a late bird special if you missed the early bird special. So you can still get in 4 more days. And actually, ThinkUp is hiring as well. You go to blog.thinkup.com. We're looking for a developer to help us out with the open source app and some of our internal systems. You'll be working with me. So definitely check that out. And I also co-host This Week in Google here on the Twit Network, which airs on Wednesdays at 1 p.m. Pacific, 4 p.m. Eastern. I'll be on tomorrow with Leo and Jeff. So come stop by for that, too.
Excellent. You'll be distracting me from editing security now. Ron, what you got going on?
I got a lot going on. You can go to about.me/RonXO. You can find links to my Google Plus, where I am trying to be as active as I can there. Still feeling the pressure of what to post there, though. It's hard.
No, you're doing fine.
I know.
You're doing okay. You got this.
I'm trying. So you can go follow me on Google Plus as well as Twitter, where I post the majority of my inane crap. And Facebook and all that fun stuff, Instagram. I love the Instagram. And also, if you like comic books, go to imagecomics.com, where you can download DRM-free comic books like The Walking Dead and Saga and all these great stuff. That's what I'm doing by day and working on some cool stuff. So more news soon.
If you think, I have to post something, and then you also think, and it's about my Nexus 5, go to Google+.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yep.
Chad, what you got?
Video switch this show, and then I also host a show about Minecraft, OMG Craft, and then I do a show about YouTube this week in YouTube. But if you want to check out some of the personal stuff that I do, head on over to youtube.com/OMGChad, where you'll see ridiculous hair videos, vlogs, and let's plays of stuff. And the Google Plus stuff has, you can go to google.com/plus OMGChad, and it takes you to my YouTube page, not my profile, but it goes to a page. So you can do that now if you guys were wondering from last
Interesting.
Week.
Interesting. Did you set that up or did they do that?
So I was worried. So I don't think any... Did you ever get RonXO?
I'm still under review.
Right. So I'm worried that they won't let anyone have a username. So unless if you're a page. And a page can have a username, but not a profile.
Why would they even let me do that then?
Don't know.
What's funny is that they are... I'm sorry. I know we need to wrap. But I know. They are... When I go to my page, they're adding more suggested URLs to try to woo me.
But see, now you can't even, I couldn't even write in OMG Chad anymore now.
Really?
It's so, taken that away.
Yeah, currently right now, slash plus RonXO is still under review, but they've added, I could change it to plus Ron Richards or plus Ron Richards, and then a suffix is required. It's
yes.
After that,
yes.
I understand what that means.
So if you click plus Ron Richards, you have to add numbers or... Some other thing to that. Right. So
I close the tab, by the way. I don't want to click anything.
Yeah, I know, right? You're crap. Yeah. So anyway, it's gotten confusing. They have their own little rules. So if you go to plus OMG Chad, you'll be taken to a page which isn't a profile, and you can find some of the stuff that I do there.
I'm digging my heels in, man.
I tried to do and I gave up.
I am a stubborn...
I don't think... how are you going to dig your heels in once they say, sorry, you don't get your thing?
Then I've got a platform. Luckily, I co-host a show.
Okay.
I didn't have to dig my heels in. Google.com/plus Jason Howell. There you go. All right. Thank you. That is a great episode for this week. I really appreciate you guys coming along and joining us. Voicemails, 347-SHOW-AAA. You can leave us an email at aaa@twit.tv. You can find us on Twitter. We are at Android Show. We are on Google+. Just search for All About Android. The Reddit, twitaaa.reddit.com. Show notes can be found at twit.tv/AAA. You can also find our past episodes there, this place called YouTube, and this other place called iTunes. And you can catch us live every Tuesday starting at 5 p.m. Pacific at live.twit.tv. That's it for this week. We'll see you next week on another episode of All About Android.